We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis of Mage. I'm really glad to be here, and I want to remind everybody that this whole month we are airing from the social scene. What is the social scene? Well, welcome to the social scene, bringing people together one event at a time. And if you're interested in finding out what's happening with the social scene, check out socialscene.me. And it's as easy as that. My co-host this whole month, we hope, is Peter Myerson from the law firm Cohn, Raznick, Myerson & Plout. Welcome back, Peter.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
Great. Thank you very much. And our next guest, Nachi Junakar, correct?
That's
and
correct.
And that's even worse. Avrio? Have Avrio. I got it right. So tell us, what is Avrio?
So first, Jeff, Peter, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Avrio is a artificial intelligence-based platform for job seekers.
Wow.
And it's really, really interesting problem that we're trying to solve. And the problem we see in the marketplace is that employers are constantly saying that they can't find the people they want, and job seekers cannot find the jobs they need. And what we're doing is supporting the job seeker from the beginning to end, from the time they need a job till the time they get one, to sort of bring the employer and job seeker closer together. So we onboard you as a job seeker with your resume, your LinkedIn profile. We give you a resume grade telling you if you're missing a section in the resume or if something's wrong with your resume, such as formatting and things like that. So you get immediate value from it. And then we take you into what we call a selfie. A selfie is a really useful and nice visualization of your career data. And
past career data.
Yes, your past career data, right. And what we do is we give you some indications as to what this current job title, current path you're on is going to look like in a couple of years, such as, you know, you're on a good path, you're going to get a good raise, this profession is growing, or this job title is growing in your location, and so forth and so on. And then what we do is really cool. We, out of the millions of job listings, we'll match you to jobs that fit your skills, your preferences, such as location, salary, as well as matching you to the employer's preferences. So in other words, these are jobs that you don't have to really search, right? We algorithmically pull these jobs out from our system, from our database.
Okay, but you know, how does the artificial intelligence play into this? Because I know that the jobs space is a pretty crowded space.
Right. So there's that's a long answer, but I'll try to be brief about that. The fundamental thing about the way we're using the AI piece is we're sucking in expertise of a couple of really well-known, well-regarded industry experts into the system. So we're literally sucking their knowledge into the system. And then we offer up that knowledge to the world in the form of artificial intelligence, and it's based, it's a rule-based system, right? So in other words, when should you follow up, right? I applied for a job on Monday, should I follow up on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? All manner of questions and rules, the questions that individuals have that are unanswered are answered by the system.
I would think he had to do a lot of work to debug the system to be able to work through just about any scenario. That's a lot of detail and a compulsiveness to your work.
Yes, there is a lot of detail and compulsiveness. And, you know, we have some really, really talented people. In fact, the gentleman that introduced
Alex
and I.
Oh, that wasn't Alex. Sorry.
It wasn't Alex.
I shouldn't have assumed.
A fellow named Rich Stillman.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
And so the detail is really in the natural language processing piece, as well as the matching piece, as well as the expert system piece. So it's, you know, when I talk to investors, they will say, well, this is not rocket science, right? And I say, well, some of it is rocket science.
It is rocket science.
Yeah, but there's billions of pieces of things that have to be done in rocket science to make sure that the rocket doesn't blow up.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and we...
So that I can just watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Lift off and come back.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Because we're in the mode now where we're really cranking out all the bugs and trying to, you know, shoot them down.
Where are you? In an alpha, beta testing?
We're going to be in a public release in a couple of weeks, so we're pretty close to getting this out there. And what the world's going to see for the first time is an entire journey from the time you onboard yourself to the time you customize your resume to a specific job, which is another...
This sounds like a... something millennials are going to love. Am I correct? Is that what you're assuming also was a initial sort of, adoption process versus Peter and I?
Yeah.
Peter's resume is 18 pages, so...
I can use this too. I mean,
you could spend weeks just on Peter's resume cutting it down.
That's right. But that's a really good question, and the honest answer is that we can support a wide variety of people in a wide variety of professions, fields, industries, and so forth and so on. But the millennials are obviously known for adopting technology solutions.
And they're moving a lot of jobs, and they're a big, the largest portion of our population.
That's exactly
versus
right.
Peter. But right. Peter was chief legal counsel for King Tut.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got quite a resume.
King Tut was pretty good. He had some special talents.
Right.
So what do you tell us about your journey?
That's what we want to know. Let's go in the Wayback Machine and find out how did you evolve into this?
Well, it's like John Lennon said, life's what happens to you when you're making other plans. So I went to Clark University just down the street here and got my MBA in marketing. And I was doing some research on the internet market development, right, which is, in the mid-90s. And early to mid-90s. And, I went to, a variety of tech companies in Cambridge, Margaret Hamilton's, company, which she ran out of her house in Inman Square, a couple of other companies. And I never thought that this sort of path was open to me, available to me as
you
a kid.
You mean to develop
to
your
develop
own company.
Your own company, right. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of school, I had a job offer to do some marketing work for a company in Cambridge, and my first year salary was supposed to be around $60,000, which people said was very high salary for a rookie. And so I talked to some of my friends and advisors. Of course, most of them said I'm crazy for not taking the job, and I decided that I would start my first company just because someone said to me, one of my mentors said to me, well, you could do this, you could do that, or you could start a company. And I said, oh, let me try that. And so in the first year,
that's the heart of being an entrepreneur.
Right, right.
You got a gene.
Take a leap.
You got a gene that you can't ignore.
That's right. It's compulsiveness.
N- 95 out of 100 people would get that advice and not take it. That's what Peter's saying.
Yeah, at least.
Right.
At least. Yeah.
Clearly, he saw something in you.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think you said it was he.
He was a he, yeah.
Right.
And still is one of my close mentors and advisors. But my first year goal was to make my first year salary and back. And turned out I sold $1 million in revenue in the first year. I had no idea what I was doing. I was working 18 hours a day just trying to learn fast. Just trying to figure things out.
See, Peter, that's the magic touch. You keep trying to figure out what you're doing. And he sold $1 million without knowing what he was doing.
Well, that's true. But, he represents the difference between
it was all about risk and reward
and
for him.
Generation.
Risk and reward. A true entrepreneur. Don't see the obstacles and you just jumped in. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the risk tolerance for entrepreneurs is in general much higher. And, that's sort of when we talk to VCs, the VC's job is to, we believe the VC's job is to take risks. But most VCs
they don't see it that way.
Yeah, they don't see it that way. They want you to mitigate the risk as much as possible. Right.
Yeah. Not just VCs.
Right.
The VCs are coached by their attorneys.
I didn't realize I was going to be the subject of this interview.
No, no, this isn't Peter. Peter's an entrepreneurial attorney because he's worked with probably more startups than any attorney I know.
Yeah. But one
so comment there's I'll the compliment. It outweighs the other ones.
Yeah, but one comment I would make about the ecosystem in Boston is for someone like me who's just a kid who started a company years ago, the moral support, the financial support from the community, you know, angel investors, individual, you know, people who take a chance on you, attorneys who'd say, hey, I'll give you, you know, $25,000 worth of free, you know, startup stuff. It's just the interconnectedness in the community is powerful, and it's encouraging because I think that I always say that it takes a village to grow a company, just like it takes a village to grow a child, and it's really true. So there's so much research on entrepreneurial ecosystems everywhere, in Silicon Valley, in Berlin, in Boston, in so many places in the world.
So let's go. Let's go into our time machine again. And let's before we go, tell us what the company is going to look like and what it's going to be doing in 18 months.
In 18 months, we're going to have lots and lots and lots of users using our system and benefiting from our platform. We would have evolved the AI piece to a much higher degree of sophistication. We would have implemented, you know, new sort of things like specific kind of machine learning technologies. And we think that we would be and have a large international audience and a user base as well, because we believe there's 600 million people in the English-speaking world that we can support, and about 400 million people in the Spanish-speaking world that we can support. So 18 months in a young company is a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a generational shift in the technology and then in.
Do you have partners?
Yeah. My partner and co-founder is an old friend of mine, Marv Goldschmidt. Marv was the founding head of marketing at Lotus, as you recall. And he's a brilliant guy. He is very focused on the strategy piece and the marketing execution piece. And yeah, I mean, he, one of the things about Marv is that he's a really, really good trend reader, right? And one of the things that we sort of came together on is the fact that in this industry, sort of roughly speaking, the HR industry, most of the services and tools and technologies are focused on the employers and the recruiters, right? Whereas we see a very large opportunity and a very large desperate need on the side of the job seeker to support them. So there's lots of stuff that supports the companies.
So this is really a business that's going to be supported by employees and potential employees, not the other side.
That's correct.
Because I know a lot of the job space is about, you know, getting paid by employers.
That's correct. Yeah. So our model is predicated upon delivering service to the individual, not to the company.
Right. Very good. Nachi, I'm sure we could talk to you more, and I hope you're going to come back again, because we want to talk more about the launch and the business and help you as much as we can. This is what it's all about. It's Radio Entrepreneurs. So we'll try to book you again as things start to roll out. Can you tell people who might be interested now in finding you at Avrio how they can do that?
Yes. Yeah, so first, thanks again for having me, and I'd be delighted to come back. You can find us on goavrio.com, goavrio.com. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Well, thanks for being on the show. It's going to be exciting to watch the rollout. And I want to thank Peter Meyerson again from Cohn, Raznick, Meyerson & Plowd for being my co-host on this episode.
It's always fun to be a target, Jeff.
You're not a target, Peter. You're one of the most pleasant and talented people I know in one package. And again, talking about thank yous, and we want to thank our friends over at The Social Scene also. who have created a social evolution, and they're bringing people together one event at a time. If you're going to events and you go to events and you have a social life, or you're trying to have one like Peter does, you want to go to socialscene.me and register now for that app. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.